Praise the Lord, saints.
Many people have a wrong impression about serving Jesus. They think it's a drudgery. They focus on all they have to give up. But I'm so thankful that that's not true. That when we surrender all to the Lord, there's a joy unspeakable. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. 5:16, excuse me. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. And he was telling the Christians to do this, those that were saved, the Thessalonians, rejoice evermore. There's a tendency in mankind and myself to focus on the negative, to focus on what you don't have, what went wrong, instead of counting all of our benefits one by one and all of the blessings of the Lord. When we do that, when we discipline our mind, like the scripture says, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is of good report, think upon these things. Then we're going to be rejoicing. And so I gather from this that rejoicing is not something that comes naturally. It's what we are thinking about and what we are focusing on. And above all, if we have Jesus or not in our hearts, whether we will rejoice or not. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Again, he's commanding them, he's telling them, rejoice in the Lord only when everything goes right. Always. So that tells me that when I'm hot, in a room where it's hot, when my car is broken down the side of the road like it did on the way up here and our tire blew out, tells me to rejoice evermore. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice at all times. Isaiah 35, verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The returning, where are we returning? The world today is lost. They're blind. They're in sin. They need to return to Zion. Zion, as we all know, is God's people, the church of God. It speaks of the mountaintop, the church of God. The peak where you see everything clearly above the clouds of the fogginess and the confusion of false religion and creeds and doctrines of men. When we get to that place and we repent and are washed in the blood of Jesus, we are automatically connected to the body of Christ. Doesn't matter where we are. Even people that are not here amongst us, as we all know, they have returned to Mount Zion. Now, there's also returning to Mount, that's returning to Mount Zion in your heart and your soul. There's also returning to Mount Zion like my wife and I did when we came out of Babylon, out of the church that we thought was true, and we left it seeking for the true body that was visible with our eyes, that we could sing with, raise holy hands with. We're all alone meeting in a house for a year and a half, praying that God would show us the true church, lead us to it. And when we found it in the beginning, we were rejoicing, but we were too afraid to rejoice too much because we thought it might not be true. It just seemed too good to be true. I'm so thankful that it's true. And I returned to Zion. If you all see me jumping and praising God and going, that guy's crazy over there. He never shuts up. Well, that's because I'm so happy. When I wake up and I go, wait a minute, I'm with the true church of God. I'm with the true church. I return to Mount Zion rejoicing with everlasting songs. I can sing in the shower. I can sing while my tire is being blown up on the way up here. Praise the Lord. I can sing with those 45 minutes that we lost, waiting to get that tire replaced. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. It's going to flee away. I'm so thankful that in the presence of the Lord, when we're in His presence, living in the Holy Spirit, sorrow and sadness just flees away. We can laugh and rejoice and go, well, that thing is temporal. It's not going to last forever, but what I have in the Lord is forever. Thank the Lord. It says in Ezra chapter 6, verse 16, and the children of Israel and the priests and the Levites and the rest of the children of the captivity kept the dedication of the house of God with joy. They had worked in the temple, completed it, and then they dedicated to the house to the Lord with joy. This was a natural temple, like this tabernacle is a natural tabernacle. As we as God people know that it tells in the Corinthians, know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? We already heard in the services about dedicating or consecrating our lives to the Lord. When we consecrate our house, this house, our body to the Lord, it's going to be with joy. I still remember the day when I was 11 when the Lord called me to preach. I didn't surrender until I was age 19. At that time, I had graduated with college preparatory classes. I had put in for a contest for three drawings that I did. I forget, one was charcoal, one was maybe a pencil, and another one was a bust that I had done out of clay. And I won. I won the scholarship through that. And I knew at that time that the Lord had called me to preach, and I knew if I got involved with commercial art, which is what I wanted to do, that I might be totally forgetting about that call of the Lord. And I struggled with that. I waited and waited, and they even wrote to me and saying, are you going to obtain your scholarship or not? And anyway, I gave it all up. One night, I had been working for McDonald's. I was a second assistant manager of McDonald's, living in Carlsbad, New Mexico. And one night I was kneeling down. I was in bed praying. I couldn't go to sleep. I tossed and turned. Then I knelt down and I was weeping and crying because I know that after the message that I had heard that the flesh will settle for so little that this two minister women had spoken about, Esau sold his birthright for just a little bowl of beans. The flesh will settle for so little. And I got up kneeling down saying, the flesh will settle for so little. And that night I cried and wept and I died to myself and with tears surrendered my all to the Lord. And I feel that's when I was fully sanctified at age 19. And when I dedicated my house to the Lord, it was with joy. I got up. That church required that we sell our car, sell our house, never get married, leave everything behind. I got up and I was willing to do it. And I did it for 10 years. And I thank the Lord that when we dedicate this house to the Lord, it doesn't matter what we have to give up or do. We'll do it. It no longer mattered. The only thing that mattered was that I wanted to do the will of the Lord. I dedicated, I consecrated my life to the Lord, and I got up so happy and rejoicing. There was once a little boy whose little car broke. It's a poem. His toy broke. And he went to his daddy. He said, Daddy, I knew you can fix it. And he was showing it to him. And the daddy says, yes, I can. Give it to me. He goes, no, Daddy, I don't want to give it to you. Well, I need to fix it. No, but I don't want to give it to you, Daddy. I want to keep it. Well, you have to give it to me so I can look at it and work on it. No, Daddy, I don't want to. He says, well, if you don't give it to me, I can't fix it. You know, we want the Lord to fix our problems, fix our drug addiction, fix our alcoholic addiction, fix our pornography addiction, fix our gambling addiction, et cetera, et cetera. We want Him to fix it. Fix our marriage. Fix our relationship with our kids. But we won't cast all our cares before Him and lay it at His feet. What would you think of your neighbor coming over one night to your home? You have one of these expensive vehicles. And they go over there and they paint the rims red. They put metal studs on the front hood, they hammer them in. Amen? Then they scratch a big X on one side of the vehicle and then big X on the other side of the vehicle. What would you think of that person? They're vandalizing, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want them to do that to your vehicle because it's yours, right? Well, if we really have given our lives over to the Lord, saints, why are we tattooing our bodies? Why are we piercing our ears? Why are we cutting our hair, women? Men, why are we letting our hair grow when the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair? Why are we cursing? Amen? Oh, I know none of us saints do that. If we really give it to the Lord, why are we going to get our ears pierced? Are we not vandalizing the property of the Lord. Why are we holding it for ourselves? Oh no, I know you want me to go out as a missionary, but I don't want to do it, Lord. Not right now, like we heard today, when I get older. Once I enjoy life and I'm born out, then I'll be a missionary. Well, you won't have strength to do it then, I'm sorry. I barely have strength at age 51. When we dedicate our heart to the Lord and give it all to Him, there's going to be joy in it, rejoicing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Who says amen? Those of us that have fully, without strings attached, without any reservations, given our all, it is a joy to serve the Lord. Woo! Praise the Lord. Amen? You don't go, brother, I'm just having a struggle with... No. No. We rejoice in the Lord. Yes, we're going to have our struggles. But that struggle, when we lay it at the feet of the Lord, we get up with victory and rejoicing. Amen? We don't just go around all the time, it's so hard to serve the Lord. No, 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 no. Something's wrong with you. You're holding on to something. Amen? It's not hard to serve the Lord. The flesh isn't willing, but if we're walking the Spirit, we've got power. Amen? The Spirit is willing. Nehemiah 8:8. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. 9. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweat, the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We always just quote that part, right? Here's the context of it. What had happened? God's people had drifted. It was the 3rd, 4th, 10th generation, I don't know. The law, the book of the law had been set aside, and they were just doing what they thought was right in their own eyes. They found the book of the law, they brought it, and they started reading it. You know, in the beginning, when we're worldly and we're a part of the world and we hear the word of God, it's going to bring tears and crying. It should. It should make us feel bad. It should make us feel sad. It should bring us to the altar and make us repent. But after we get up from there and we've given it all to the Lord, we're not going to be sorry or sad anymore. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for this day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Do we understand the words that are being declared unto us? If you're heavy laden and sad and sorrowful all the time, something's wrong, because you should have the joy of the Lord even in the sad and sorrowful times. Amen? Amen? We were hearing the brother here, Brother Paul, telling the sister Sarita, suffering from cancer, and she couldn't wait to get out of here. Brother Paul told me, I love you all and I want to be with you all, but if the Lord decides to take me, I'm going out of here, she said. That's not normal. Most people say, give me the chemotherapy, give me the whatever I need. I don't want to die. I'm good. Well, why don't you want to die? Go be with the Lord. It's so wonderful. Because you don't really believe it. And because you're not ready. And because you haven't surrendered your all to the Lord. That's why. That's why you don't want to die. Amen? May the Lord help us. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You know, when I was growing up, I thought that the pleasures were in front of the television, beginning with Captain Kangaroo and Get Home from School, Gilligan's Island, and Bewitched, and I Love Jeannie, and then late night show, Saturday Night Live. Woo! I was having a good time. But my soul was going, water, water, food. I go, oh, more TV. Switch the channels. Water, food. My little soul was like a little Ethiopian, starving. And I kept on feeding it TV and shows and laughing. And I just felt so empty. That's why they have all those channels now. I don't know how many they have now. You can have 200 or maybe even more. I'm behind times. You can get them all. You can just click and click and click. And now they have screens where you can watch 2 or 3 or 4 movies at the same time. because they know one is not working. It's not enough. The soul wants something. Amen? It doesn't say in the presence of Hollywood and the TV shows is the fullness of joy. It doesn't say in the presence of the slot machines there is fullness of joy. It says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. At thy right hand. Amen? In his presence. We're in his presence here. When you read the Bible in the morning, you're in his presence. When you pray, you're in a more intimate presence with him. It's like being with your wife all day long. That's not enough. You need to have intimate time together like we heard. Or you'll shrivel up and die. In thy presence, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. If you're not reading your Bible every day, if you're not praying, and you're just going on an empty tank and going on what you heard last Sunday and Wednesday or whenever you have your services, it's not enough. In thy presence, there is fullness of joy. Luke 2:10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Good tidings of great joy. Are you ashamed to tell your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, your co-workers, those that you go to school with about the gospel? Are you? Then you don't really believe that it's good tidings. You believe it's just a bunch of rules and codes. That's what you believe. That's why you don't want to tell them. You think it's just too hard. Because if you really believe that when they give their heart to the Lord, they get up a resurrected person in Christ, and they're going to find joy, you'd be willing to share it with them. You'd pop the question to them. You know, when I was in sales, they taught us, don't wait, don't lalagag. You find that open door to say, do you want to buy it? Do you want to take it home right now? I can ring it up. I can do your credit. We can get you credit right now. When I'm walking the streets of Ciudad Juarez, and I meet people, I know I might meet him just for a few seconds. I pop the question if the Holy Spirit moves me. And I say, do you know Jesus? Have you given your heart to him? They say, no. I say, would you like to? They go, what does that mean? I explain quickly. And I say, do you want to pray and give your heart to the Lord? They say, yes. I don't get a knife and point it at their throat. I don't get a pistol pointed at them. I give them an example. If I were to come to you and give you a ticket to Hawaii for a month with a rented house and a free car, and you could eat at any restaurant you want, it'd be for a month and a half at Hawaii, would you take it? They say, yes. Jesus is offering you a free gift to paradise. And you've got eternal access to the buffet of heaven, all you want. And you're going on a cruise with a beautiful woman to add it up. His name is Jesus Christ. She's not a woman. To the woman, I say, you're going on a cruise with a beautiful man. The most handsome man in all the world, his name is Jesus. Woo! You're going to rejoice. They say, yes. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Don't hide it, saints. Have faith to believe that it just takes a short prayer of faith. Amen? The Ethiopian, Philip, just a little short ride, and later on he was baptizing him. That quick. Amen? The thief on the cross. Lord, remember me. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It didn't take 5 months of gospel meetings and teaching. It could take that. I'm not saying it can't. But it doesn't have to. Oh, are we sharing the good news with our neighbors? With our family, with our friends? It's good tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy. Let's share it, saints. John 11:20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. 29. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Why did our sister here, Mary, rise up quickly? Jesus had eaten in their home with Lazarus. Lazarus had died. He'd been in the tomb 4 days, right? Stinky now. And she ran to him because she had a relationship with him. She arose quickly. When it comes time to service on Sunday, amen? Do we get up early? Do you have your clothes ready the night before? Have you picked your songs? Do you have a testimony to share just in case? Be ready. Or are you dragging at the last minute? Oh, it's time to get up 5 minutes till, and you're throwing on your clothes and you get to the service late and you can't really enjoy it. Amen? And do you stay in bed and go, oh, I don't feel like it today. I really worked late last night. It says that she arose quickly. She was desiring, she had a strong desire in her heart to see her friend Jesus. Amen? Remember when I was growing up, I had a very close relationship with my grandmother. Sadly, I didn't have a very close relationship with my dad nor my mother at that time. My dad was part of the mafia. He was a drunk, a woman beater. My mother had a nervous breakdown, and there wasn't a clear communication. And I felt empty, but I had a close relationship with my grandmother. She was so loving to me. When I was growing up, she'd spoil me to death. She'd put me in bed between her and my grandfather, and I'd be there between them both, drinking my milk mixed with a little bit of coffee that they do to me. And she'd buy me toys and grant me my wishes, and I just loved her. When I'd get upset at home, at age 5, I'd run away, which was like 10 minutes away from my home, to my grandmother's home. Don't do that, okay, kids? But I would do it because I knew that she, oh, mijito, oh, you're so cute, you're so precious. Oh, it's okay, she said. I'd be real happy right there. So when I'd be at home, the sound of my grandmother and grandfather, the car had a certain sound. It was old, and I'd hear her driving up to the driveway, and I'd be waking up, and I'd get up, throw the covers, and I'd get up, and I'd run outside. I could be playing marbles with my friends that I love to do, or doing other things with my friends, and I'd hear that vehicle coming. I gotta go, I'd tell them, and I'd go running to embrace my grandma and grandpa. Why? Because I knew I was loved. I knew I was treasured. I knew I was special. Do you know that you're loved, that you're treasured, that you're special, that He wants to baby you? He wants to baby you and give you, grant you. Do you know that if you delight in the Lord, He'll grant you the desires of your heart? He's done it for me and He'll do it for you. If you spend time with Him and gain His affection and love, which you already have it. But if you get near to Him, you're going to get it. Praise the Lord. There is a joy in serving the Lord. There's joy in having a relationship with Him. And we're going to get up quickly. You know, I'd like you to go to do this and that. The Lord says, you're going to do it quickly. There's going to be joy about doing it because you have a special relationship with Him. I do. I hope you do too. The joy of having an intimate relationship with the Lord, it's wonderful. Matthew 13:44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man had found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Amen. For joy, he left it all behind. We read of the woman in Luke, John 4, the woman at the well. Remember what she did with the water pot? She brought it to get water, to take water back with her. And what did she do when she left? She left it behind. That occupied her time. That was what she was occupied with. You know, when we get a vision of the joy of the Lord, and we get a vision of how wonderful it is to serve Him, we're going to leave behind certain things. Certain things that are taking up our time, that are keeping us from doing the Lord's will. She was so excited that she had met the Messiah, and a man that told me all I ever did, she went and told everybody in the city. Those men came back. They believed her report, but then when they came back, they believed because they heard Jesus themselves. Amen. There was once a young boy who loved horses, and he had those broom handles, and he'd run around with his little broom handle playing horsey everywhere he went. And really loved playing horses. And one day, his dad came home from work early. He said, I have a surprise for you outside. I'm going to blindfold you and show it to you. He goes, okay, daddy. So he blindfolded and led him outside. And then he took off the blindfold. And in front of his eyes was a real horse. A real live pony. He was holding his play pony in his hand. What do you think he did with that dead stick, lifeless thing? He threw it away. And he went and hugged the pony. The real live pony. You know, that alcohol is a dry stick. That drug addiction is a dry stick. Spending all your time on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube is a dry stick. I'm not saying it can't be useful, but don't spend your time on a dry stick. Your time is too short in life to spend your time on a dry stick. Amen? Set it aside. You need to get rid of it. Get rid of it. Don't allow that cell phone to send you to hell with pornography. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for this parable. The treasure found, he sold all that he had. This young boy threw away the stick because he saw the real pony. Do you see the joy of having a real living relationship, not with a tube? I don't know if it's a tube anymore. It's a flat screen TV now. I haven't studied what it's made out of now. But some are addicted to it. You're addicted to it on your cell phone. You can't stop watching it. You prefer it over reading the Bible. Something's wrong with you. You prefer it over praying. Something's wrong. You need to reconsecrate your life to the Lord. Oh, don't lose heart if you're doing that. Ask the Lord, show me the live pony. Show me the real Jesus. Show me his beauty. And you're going to let go of that dry stick. I mean, if you think I'm criticizing too much, I have a cell phone right here, okay? It's right here. But you won't see me poking it in the meeting and, amen, in the service. I'm having a candlelight dinner with Jesus. And I'm not going to let anything distract me from seeing his beautiful face and hearing his beautiful voice, amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Who says amen? One time, there was a little boy crawling, a little baby, I don't know how old he was, and he had the mother looked around and he had a razor in his mouth. You know those two-edged razors that men shave with in his mouth? And she thought, if I go to try to take it out, I'm going to cut him all up and I'm going to hurt him. She says, what do I do? And she knew that he loved apples. So she got the apple and presented it to him, and he spit out the razor and got the apple. Do we see what the Lord is presenting to us? He's presenting our soul's favorite food, the manna, the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your soul does not need worldliness. Your soul needs. Jesus said, whosoever eateth of my flesh and drinketh of my blood has what? Everlasting life. Right now. He's presenting to you that juicy, sizzling steak. And you're holding on to a piece of dead rat that has a little bit of seasoning on it and it looks, ugh. That's what some of us are holding on to. When Jesus wants to give us that juicy, sizzling steak, oh, may we see the joy of the treasure that the Lord is giving to us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Choosing rather to suffer with God's people, he counted it greater. The reproach of Christ was him greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. You know, he was raised by the Pharaoh's daughter, and he had access to great riches. Amen? He could have ridden on one of those beds, you know, with the two poles. Women carrying it and feeding him grapes. Just riding around like that. He could have enjoyed eating any food he wanted, going to any part of the world that he could travel. Enjoyed anything he wanted. Power to rule over people, to feed his pride. But he chose rather to suffer affliction and reproach with Christ. Greater riches, esteemed it. The devil would like to tell us, and he does tell many of us, he tells me often, if you just give that work up that you're doing there, you'd be more freer to do what you want to do. He brings that often to me. When I was younger, a little boy, we'd go to Mexico. My dad was a Mexican. He was born in Chihuahua, the state of Chihuahua. And we'd go to visit my grandparents. And we went one year. My dad had given me a $20 bill. And we had spent, I don't know, 4 days with my relatives. My grandfather had remarried and he had children my age. They were my uncles and aunts. We played together. And we were playing together. And I had my $20 in my pocket. And I showed it to my uncle that was about a year older than me. I was like 8 and maybe he was 9. And he showed me, he took out of his pocket a lot of coins, Mexican coins. And he said, I'll give you all of this if you'll give me that. And I saw, he said, look, weigh it, it's heavy. I said, yeah, it's heavy, it's a lot. He goes, okay. So I put it in my pocket and I gave him the $20. When we were going back home, my dad asked me, do you still have your $20? And I said, no, my uncle gave me all this change and I showed it to him. It wasn't even worth 20 cents. It was a lot of coins. So he had played a little scam on me. And I believed it because it looked more. You know what the world offered? It looks like more those parties, the friends, those women in the bikinis. It looks like more. Driving around, hot rodding. I don't know what the young kids do now. We used to go. I did it in a clean way, but there were some of my friends that drove around town. They do a certain circle at night and do a certain circle and ride around trying to pick up girls. I didn't do that. Okay. I drove around, and then I'd go home. That looks exciting to young people. But later on comes gonorrhea, syphilis, and AIDS. Pregnancy, responsibility, and big trouble. Amen? Don't let the devil tell you that what he offers is more than what God offers. I'd rather choose affliction and suffering with Christ because it's greater riches. Amen? There's a reward for it, that's why. He's going to pay us for our sweat and our work for him. Psalm 123:5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I like to garden and plant. We live in a desert. It's really hard. But I still plant and garden. There's certain flowers and plants that won't grow. They only reach a certain state and they die there in El Paso, Texas, because it's a desert. But I planted sunflowers and they grow real big. And this big blooms one year. I planted them. I got out there and I dug and I pulled out weeds and I got burned in the sun and planted the seeds. And in the fall, the big blooms were blooming and they were just beautiful. All the women would drive by slow, the older women in my neighborhood. They'd be looking, they'd come and knock on my door. Says, what do you put in your soil? What do you do to your plants? And one came and said, will you give me a bouquet of your flowers? And I felt so bad because that was the first year I'd planted them. And I said, I'm sorry, I just planted them and I want to look at them. I told her, forgive me. She said, it's okay, she said. I told her, but you know what? I'll give you seeds. And if you plant them next fall at this time, you'll have sunflowers. She never planted them. She thought it was too much hard work. I had sunflowers because I worked at planting them. There's souls out there that are dry and barren. They have thorns. And they're going to prick you when you speak to them. They're going to dislike you. You're going to get sunburned. Amen? Persecuted. But if it falls in good ground, it's going to produce some 40, 60, 100-fold to the Lord. It's worth it. I remember when I was younger, I lived in Hobbs, Mexico. I worked for a 90-year-old black man. He had 3 lots of land. On one lot, he had grapes. On the other lot, fruit trees. And on the one big lot, he had a garden. And he hired me to work for him. We'd plant cantaloupes, watermelons, corn, and sweet potatoes, and cucumbers, and everything you can imagine. And you know what? I'd plant them, and I'd rototill the yard. He had a compost. I'd go dig it out and carry the wheelbarrow and spread it out and dig and make the he'd make straight lines of the wire here and there. And I'd plow it like that, and we'd plant the seed and all kinds of stuff. It was a lot of work, but you know what? When you give me that big watermelon, I take it home in the refrigerator, and then later on cut it up. I go, ah, this is worth it. Mmm, this watermelon, this cantaloupe, mmm, it's delicious. It's wonderful when we see beyond the tears, beyond bearing the charge of helping others, the cost of it all. Doubtless shall come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him, bringing the fruit with him. It's worth it, saints. It's worth it living for others. It's worth it giving our all. Amen. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, notice, for the joy, was there joy in being whipped, lacerated, nailed to the cross, wearing a crown of thorns, being despised, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before him. Jesus went to the cross, and we will have to go to the cross too. The Lord requires that we crucify our flesh, that we crucify our human desires. Amen? But there's joy in doing it. There's joy in doing it. Who wants to reach the end of life and have kidney problems and liver problems because you destroyed it with alcohol and drugs? Amen? I know people in Juarez, Mexico, that drink something, smell something called agua celeste. It's pain thinner. And they get addicted to it. It's very cheap. They buy a big gallon like that. And I've seen them go through stages through the years, the ones I meet in the street and see them again and again. They're real smart and intelligent. Pretty soon they're going, they can't even talk anymore. They can't even walk anymore. Some lose ability to walk anymore. It's just pain thinner. Amen? Let us lay aside the sin that does so easily beset us. Don't let the devil tell you, I'm going to get lost in la-la land and get rid of my problems for a little while. That's what they say. I had so many problems, I started doing this because of the problems, and then they get addicted. Jesus can deliver you, praise the Lord. It doesn't have to be a year. It can be from 1 second going to the altar and getting up. If you really are saved, you can be risen up in newness of life. The old things will pass away. You'll be born again. You'll be regenerated. Believe it. Don't doubt it. I'm here to tell you. I have never touched alcohol, drugs, smoked. And I had a dad that was a mafia man that's had the drugs before me. I never did it. He offered me my first beer at age 14, I think it was, and I refused it because I had to reread in the Bible. It says that, know ye not that drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And I surely didn't want a little can of Budweiser or whatever it was to keep me out of heaven. So I don't know what it tastes like. Thank the Lord. If he can keep me, he can keep you. I'm 51. Amen? He can keep you too. Amen? Don't fall for the lies of the devil. There was one time a friend of mine that had a friend, and he told me this story, that he had planted a garden, but he also had pigs. And he had planted a garden 1 year, and the pigs, sadly, after the watermelons were getting so big, and the cucumbers and squash, they'd go in and bite him and eat him. He was so discouraged and disappointed, but he wanted to keep the pigs because that was part of his living. So he got an idea. He said, I'm going to put a fence around my garden spot, and I'm going to connect it to an electric wire, electricity going around. And so he put it there. He said, I know those pigs are going to get in there now. So you know what happened? The problem was the pigs had already tasted watermelons, cantaloupes. They knew what it tasted like, and they wanted it bad. They'd go back at this, go, and go through the wires, and get through to the other side. And there you'd find them inside the electric wire, eating the fruit. the vegetables. If pigs understand what's good, how much should we understand how wonderful it is? It might hurt a little bit to serve the Lord at times. It might be a little bit difficult. There might be times that denying ourselves or not going out with those friends might seem difficult. But it's worth it for what's on the other side of the fence. For the joy that was set before him. What do you think Jesus felt like after he rose up the third day? Amen. After having been, I know he wasn't humiliated because he had crucified the flesh. The flesh might have been humiliated because he was in the flesh. But he was also 100% God. The God-man. But he did suffer because he was like you and I. I've been gardening in the roses. And I've slipped a little bit and I've hit myself with the roses. And they stick in you and it hurts real bad. I love gardening with roses. But I don't like that part. And I thought, oh my Jesus, the crown of thorns, the nails in your hands, in your feet, the hole in your side where blood and water came out. For the joy that was set before him, what was the joy? Seeing Sister Trudy over there saved. Seeing Brother Michael over there saved. Being a missionary in Africa, Pakistan, having saved children. What about you parents that have sixth generation or seventh, I don't know, in the Church of God? What do you think about it? Was it worth it to see them rejoicing in the Lord? Oh, for the joy that was set before him. I think of Jesus in heaven going, oh, I'll do it again. I would do it all over again just to see that brother set free from those chains of those heavy burdens that he was carrying. Amen? Praise the Lord. Oh, for the joy that has been set before us, Lord. For the joy that has been set before us, brother and sister. We should rejoice and be glad, amen? Rejoice and be glad for what the Lord has done and for what the Lord is doing for us, amen. It tells us, to conclude, 1st Epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than that than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Whom having not seen, we love, in whom though now we see him not, believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory in spite of the struggles and trials that we go through in serving the Lord? I do. Amen. Being much more precious than that of gold, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. There was once a man way back in time when, before they had these sophisticated prisons with television and gyms and wonderful gourmet food that they have now in some places. They put him in dungeons then with chains, with big balls of chains like that. A man who had been falsely accused of stealing something. The king was so outraged that he put him in the dungeon and tied these big balls of metal around him. And he'd drag him around. Rats biting him and cockroaches and cold and damp and hardly getting anything to eat, and just suffering unjustly. Well, back in the scenes, in life of everybody else, years passed by, and in the deathbed, the man that had stolen that object confessed it. The king found out, and he felt so bad. He sent for the prisoner. He brought him before him. And he picked up those balls, the king did, and says, I'm going to replace these heavy metal balls for weight in gold for what I did to you. I'm sorry. Amen? What do you think the man said? Oh, I wish I had never had this suffering. He said, oh, he said, I wish that metal I was drawing had been heavier, he said. I wish it had been heavier because it's been replaced with weight in gold. Amen? When we get to heaven, brother and sister, we're going to wish that we had done more and suffered more and labored more for the Lord sacrificed more and given up more, labored more in prayer and fastings. Amen? When he says, here's your reward. Amen? Finish with this story. The Bible tells us that we're going to receive a crown of glory. When I was growing up, sadly, to my shame, I used to watch the Mrs. America pageants. They'd come out in this clothing and that clothing and scantily dressed and give their speeches and their songs and all kinds of stuff. And then at the end, when they'd gone through all the stages of the competition, two well-dressed people would stand in front of a microphone like this and there'd be a drum roll. And now, the winner is Mrs. Pakistan. She'd come out to the front and she'd be so happy and they'd place the crown on her head. How do you think she feels? That's something vain and worldly. Don't try it. But how do you think she feels? She made it. And all of those hundreds of women, she's the one that was picked by all those judges. Think about it, saints. We have been chosen by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Judge of all judges, to be His children. And He has chosen to make us just and righteous and pure and holy. And when we get to heaven, we're going to get a crown. And it tells us in the book of Revelation, what did it say about the crowns? That we're going to bow down before the Lamb of God and we're going to cast it before Him and say, you, Thou art worthy to receive the glory and the honor and the praise. Let us rejoice, saints.